welcome to the Goddess Geek podcast number... it's a high number now, you know. My name's Adam Cook, and I'm joined by the delectable Christopher White.
Hello. How are you?
Did you like how I enunciate? I've got a nice microphone, so the way I said white.
Oh, it was tasty, yeah. Very nice.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
But it's out there now, I've said it. And also joining us this week, of course, the wonderful Nicola Ardron. It doesn't work as well with your name, but I tried.
Thanks.
How are you, Nicola?
Happy to be here. Yes, I'm good, thank you, Adam.
Yeah.
Very well.
You seem a little alarmed by the introduction to this
podcast.
Well,
I was actually thinking that instead of white, you should have gone the old Matt Berry white.
Oh, I should. Yeah, you know I should.
Save it for next time.
I'm almost tempted to start again. I'm disappointed in myself because I'm a big Matt Berry fan. I was acting, not so much as music, but hey, not everyone can be brilliant at everything. You're all right there, you're good?
I'm good, yes, thank you.
Good in your world?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Not too bad.
We've hit a period where I don't want to say not a lot going on, because there are always games now. There doesn't, you know, not massive games. Super Mario Maker 2, which I'll talk about later. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about, I mean, if you follow the site regularly, you'll have seen these articles, multiple articles by Chris White. I could have done it then. Shit.
White.
Never mind. Chris White. Well, I think we got the name of this week's episode anyway. But Chris, you went down to Nintendo UK in Windsor, and basically what Nintendo do is, if you can't go to E3, which we chose not to go and we couldn't go anyway, they tend to put on like an event to show off the stuff that you played on the show floor. And Chris went this year. I think he might have gone last year. Can't remember. That was a year ago. Can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday. Doesn't matter. But you went and played a load of games. We're not going to talk about every game. But, I mean, I think what I've put down on our sort of docket here are probably the highlights. Is that fair to say?
I would say they are definitely the highlights. I mean, one thing just before we go on to these is that there was a game that I didn't get to play at all, but there was a nice, hefty preview of it being played by Philippe from Nintendo Europe of Astral Train.
Astral Train, that's a different game.
Astral Chain, the new Platinum game.
Oh, that was a hands-off sort of thing,
hands-off.
Was it?
But I tell you
I mean,
that's very fun.
Let's start there.
That's very good.
Let's start there, because I don't remember seeing an email that was even there, but perhaps that was a last minute thing.
It wasn't. I mean, the games that, I mean, I was expecting obviously to play the ones I did, and then there was, I don't think Hollow Knight, the Silk Song was
Silk
there
song,
either.
Yeah.
But yeah, Astral Chain looks beautiful. Looks very good. And
for those who don't know, that's the new game that isn't Bayonetta 3 from Platinum Games.
Yeah. So it's the kind that they're known for, like the smart combat and the like Nier Automata, for instance, like the mm-hmm. kind of combat and the visual to that, it looks very lovely and it plays excellently. Now this is a game with so many different kind of gameplay features that, like, watching.
So is it? Because I read a preview today of this. Is it not the kind of Bayonetta 3, just, I don't want to say, action slasher thing? Is it more than that, then?
It is like that, but yeah, it's more than that, definitely. Because there's... So you've got these things called legions, which attach to you via astral chains. And they're like robots that fight alongside you. So so you're controlling this robot as well as yourself. Mm. And it's quite hard to explain. If you've seen videos, you'll kind of know. But these legions are like robots, like that they can. One of them's like got a bow and arrow. One of them's got like a big sword. And I think there's four in total throughout the game. And you can use them to fight whilst you're doing other stuff. So it's like there's ways to kind of chain and chain your attacks together and certain combinations that makes it look like visually stunning, like the way that they always tend to do combat in these games. And it's just, it's kind of like an investigation game, like a police investigation. Yeah, there's like detective elements to it. Then there's...
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's like... So the scene we saw, you were like this crime scene where you're investigating whatever's happening and there's like these weird aliens that have come through this dimension and you're investigating this crime scene and not just investigating a crime scene, but your legion is invisible to everyone other than you. So there was this other bit where there's these two cops that are working on the scene and you're like higher up. So you're kind of like like how the police view the FBI. Like they don't like them meddling in their business. So there's these two cops who are bitching about you, and you send your legion over to listen to them, and you can like listen to them for clues, and then you store those clues to then use for like conversations with other people later. It's like there's a hell of a lot to it.
This sounds ridiculous. Like, if you just skip the intro to this podcast and we're listening to this description of this game, it almost sounds like gibberish. Like
yeah. But it
works
really well.
I was not expecting you to say investigation aspects of a platinum game. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What kind of stuff are you doing when you're investigating?
So, like, there's certain, like... So one of the things is, like, what's coming through these portals are these aliens, these red blobby things that... There's like a mess on the floor, and like you go over to there, and there's like footprints in it. So you scan the footprints, and then
wait, like Batman,
a bit like Batman, yeah. I mean, it's kind of investigation light, but there's still enough. Like I was saying about the listening in on conversations. There's investigating crime scenes. There's all that kind of stuff, and then there's. That's like the fighting as well, which is nuts.
There is significantly, you know, like bigger than
when you're saying about
normal games.
Well, it is, yeah. Like you're saying about Batman games, you do kind of recreate what happened before you got there, so you can see the like as if they're like holograms of people that like there's a bridge has collapsed, and you see the bridge collapse, and you see people running away from the bridge, and you scan them to see why they were running away, and so yeah, there's all that. And then we got to see like a boss fight, and on top of the boss fight, you go through one of these portals where these things are coming from, and there's a whole other level of like gameplay. So like the guy with the legion with the arrow can like fire at certain things that create platforms, and you can freeze time to freeze platforms. Like, this was all in, like, half an hour, so there's a hell of a lot that kind of kicked off. So they've really kind of gone on out with it. And I'm very excited because it's got that platinum feel, but there's a hell of a lot more to it. So, yeah, there's...
Nicola, this day one, Nicola, this sounds like...
Who knows? I mean, I haven't even played Bayonetta, so this is all, like, water off a duck's back at the moment. Because, like I say, I haven't experienced Bayonetta, but I do want to. I do keep looking at it going,
It's a good game. Isn't this a very good game? That's...
My only problem is it looks a bit precise. And I'm not very good at stuff like that.
No, not at all. Like, there's a lot going on in Bayonetta that makes it look... Like, you know what you're doing, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it does look like you have to know what you're doing.
No, I think Bayonetta 2 especially, I can't remember now. I'm sure they added like a lot of accessibility stuff that... I remember on the Wii U, you could actually just play it with one touch of the screen.
Oh.
And I don't know if that stuff's still in the Switch. Like, it was really accessible. I remember Lee did a video on it. Well, I'm sure there was like you could control it with the stylus. So, I'll be honest with you, Chris. I'm quite intrigued, because what's Astral Train about?
Well, it's slightly similar, except this time you're a train driver, and you use your astral train to astral. Fucking hell!
Which is it, Chris? There's two games here.
Astral Train is the prologue,
yep.
Which shows you how you became from. Well, you went from a train driver to an FBI
Demon
officer.
Slayer thing.
Demon Slayer, okay. Yeah. It's a shocking surprise in it, but I won't ruin that. You'll have to play.
But the crazy thing is if you were actually seriously talking about a genuine prologue called Astral Train by Platinum Games, I would probably believe that was a real thing.
Yeah.
Because,
exactly, yeah.
You know,
maybe it is. It's just maybe they listen to this podcast right now and they think, you know what, that's a bloody good idea. Let's get on that.
They're listening, going, yeah, you know what, we can probably get away with that.
yeah,
and they'd be right. They'd be right, Chris.
Yes,
Astral Chain then, and Train. To be fair, that if you say it quickly, it's Astral Train. I'm saying Astral Train more than I'm saying Chain now, so we need to move on. Because at some point, someone will review that and have to write the words Astral Chain, and I get the horrible feeling there will be an Astral Train reference in that review.
The hell, yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you now, if I review it, it's happening. What else did you see at Nintendo Windsor? I don't like saying Nintendo Windsor, like it's, you know.
Yeah, a lot. So we'll get to the three big games, but I played Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Which is a lot more of the same, But yeah, it looks good. But as I say, it's a lot more of the same, and it'll be a lot better with like friends to play with. Hollow Knight, the Silk Song, which where you're playing like a female protagonist now, and it just looks gorgeous. And the art styles, it's still the same, but there's a lot of cool new kind of areas in there. But again, these are all like 10-minute plays. I played Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games 2020, which again is just more Mario and Sonic. But
can you still make like Wario dance and do the, you know?
Don't know, mate. I only got to do some karate, which I was awesome at. Like,
as who?
I was playing as Dr. Robotnik.
That's pretty good. Still
got long arms. Long arms. He got good reach.
But he's egg shaped, and I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, he's a good lad.
Is it not just really funny seeing?
Yeah, it's also funny seeing him skateboard.
I'd imagine he's a bit like a Weeble, isn't he?
A bit like a Weeble. He does wobble, but he never falls down. So
he skateboards. Hang on a minute, skateboards. Is that an Olympic sport?
I don't think so, but
I wonder.
It's good because
do you know what? Just for the record, I know someone will be listening. I know that's not the first time Weebles have been mentioned on this podcast. I'm aware of that.
You know your Weebles target,
wobble,
don't you, Adam?
They don't. I know my target demographic. Do you know that those games, though, the Mario and Sonic Olympic Games ones, despite the obscenely long titles, they've been quite good the last few times, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it does look good. Like, there's
I miss track and field, is what I'm saying.
Nothing will beat Daily Thompson's.
I had a dabble with decathlon, but I can't get to grips with it. The archery, though, archery is bloody amazing. That's a lot of fun. But yeah, in general, it's more of the same with a few new events, but it's still fun. Like, if you've played the others, you're going to know what I'm on about. But the kind of meat and bones of the event was, we'll start with Luigi's Mansion 3.
Please do.
Which is a hell of a lot of fun. And I kind of had the benefit and privilege of spending a lot of my time with Philippe from Nintendo Europe, because he was sat with me quite a lot of the time, just kind of talking me through it and telling me a bits about it and gave me a bit of insight into the new features and like the fact that there's a lot of secrets and the new kind of, it's not Gooigi, you can control.
Which is not a word that I like hearing said out loud, if I'm honest.
No.
Gooigi or Gooigi. Yeah, it's
Goo.
No, it's Gooigi. Yeah,
it's basically
it's
green.
It's a word that I can read. It's fine to read it and write it down. I just don't like hearing it out loud. Like
it's a bit naughty.
Surely it'd be better to be Gooigi if it's
Because he's not a ghost. He's basically exactly the same as Luigi, but he's green and he can slide through things and get to places.
He's Luigi if he was Slimer, right?
Yeah,
right.
Basically.
Slimer's still a ghost. I'm upset about Gooigi when they could have had Gooluigi.
Maybe he is a ghost. Because as I say, 15 minutes. He's probably got a whole backstory in there, which you might get to play.
I hope so.
In the epilogue or whatever. But yeah, so what do you want to know?
Gooigi's Mansion. How does it look and run? Yeah. I mean, I know it's not finished. We don't know a date for this game, but like those games were 3DS games, where they were handheld portable games on the DS and 3DS and that. And they always look good and they always ran pretty well, but like, similar in the way to like when Pokemon Sword and Shield is coming out and Pokemon Let's Go, these games is his first jump to a big boy console. I say that aware of how bad that sounds, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, hey, look, it looks brilliant. It runs very well from what I played.
I'm trying to gauge when it's coming out, because they're showing the game off with games like Link's Awakening, which is September, Astral Chain, which is August, you know, Pokemon Sword and Shield, November, I think. They're showing this game off with games that we have dates for, and yet there's this part of me that thinks Luigi's Mansion 3 is not going to hit this year. I mean, I'm also looking at when it could hit this year, because they got a very busy 2019 Nintendo.
They have. I won't be surprised if it is early next year, just because it'd be overcrowded, I think, if it came out. I don't know if
they've said this year, I believe.
Oh, have they?
Just not when. Know.
Yeah,
but I mean, it seems not finished because you didn't play the whole game. But you saw it. It feels, you know, done, so to speak, does it?
Well, yeah, from what I played. So I'm not, I mean, I played the original, but I never played the second one, so it's a long time since I kind of played it. But in terms of like the new features, you've got the plunger that you can fire at things, and then you can use your gun to suck the plunger in. And so, like, when you fire at a ghost...
Please continue, Chris White.
Plungers suck goo. Oh. Yeah, so you fire your plunger...
But don't you think... sorry, Chris, but don't you think Nintendo have been doing this a bit recently? Like, on whether they mean... They must mean to. There's just these little things that you're like, they know.
Mate, they know.
You need
they've
a kind of fourth
years.
Wall look I, at camera, don't you, uh-huh. for stuff like
I
that.
I always go back to... Always go back to the cow and that Switch event we went to.
Milking the cow. Yep.
Even the people that were helping at the event fully knew. Like, when I was milking that cow on the 1-2 Switch, she was like, oh, you've done this a lot, haven't you?
Yeah, like, she did, to be fair, say that, yeah.
She knows. They know.
One where one of you had a sombrero on?
Yeah. Well, it was a sort of country bumpkin hat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Supposed to be, but it was a sombrero.
I think we both got to wear it.
I think we both did, yeah.
Yeah. But the...
How did they get... I don't remember putting that hat on. That's the curious thing.
You were too keen to get to milk that cow, Adam. That's why.
I don't remember willingly putting that hat on.
They probably put it on while we were staring intently at our opposition whilst we milked the cow. It was a very intimate moment for me. I've never really had that before in gaming. Yeah.
Or since.
But yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
It is good. There's a lot of puzzles where you get to use the new mechanics, and it seems like there's a lot of thought being put into like the little secret areas and bits and pieces that just kind of fill it out a bit. So yeah, I really like the look of it. It'd be interesting to see when it comes out, because the bit I played seemed pretty finished, but again, it's 15 minutes of however long full game. But yeah. Yeah, I'm into that. I also played Pokemon Sword and Shield, which...
Difficult one to talk about, though, I imagine, because it's not the sort of game you can play 20 minutes of and go, oh, I get it.
No, absolutely not.
It's a big game.
I think it was just a case of showcasing the new mechanic, which is the Dynamax feature, which...
Right.
So, all the battles in the gym that I fought in, the water gym, took place in, like, a full-on stadium, like an arena. So there's, like... hundreds of thousands of fans sat around, and you walk into this arena with your tiny little Pokemon and you think, well, that's a bit excessive. However, at a certain point in your battle, you've got this feature called Dynamax, which you can use, and it lasts for 3 turns, and it essentially turns your Pokemon into this giant Pokemon, so it's about 10 times the size. And with that, like, all your like moves become more powerful, or their kind of abilities increase depending on what you use, and like also depending on what Pokemon you're using, it can create like weather effects which have an impact on your opponent. So I was using Grookey, which is the little monkey, and he's like a grass Pokemon, so it created like this storm of like leaves, and it was affecting my opposition. So there's little bits that have changed, and so that's kind of like the main feature. Like the animations look a lot better, like when you're fighting. So there's certainly like improvements since Sun and Moon.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because I don't really understand Pokemon. I think that Pokemon came out, I'm a bit too old, if you know what I mean. I haven't got any history with Pokemon, so I don't really understand it. What do you actually do? Is it just battles constantly?
It's basically a kiddified turn-based JRPG. Think Final Fantasy VII. It's
right.
My Pokemon is water-based, so it's good against...
Fire
is good against earth, you know.
Is there a story? Are you doing
stuff? It's like top-down Zelda. Imagine Zelda, where you go around, you move around. You move from city to city. You have to fight at the different gyms and earn a badge, and then there is a story like tethered through it, tethering it together, and there are like different events and stuff that you come across, like tiny little side missions, and then up until Pokemon Let's Go, when you walked through like the grass in a certain town, you couldn't see which Pokemon you were fighting, so it was all like left to chance. Whereas in Pokemon Let's Go, you got to see all the Pokemon living in natural habitats, so you knew exactly who you were fighting, right, and they were everywhere. So visually, it was a hell of a lot better. And I think now this is like a full Switch release with a brand new Pokemon game. They've really kind of gone all out with the visuals for the Switch. Like, it genuinely feels like a massive improvement in the series. So,
did you get to catch anything? Like,
No, it was literally.
I was just wondering if they've kept the Let's Go stuff or if they.
I hope so. I mean, it was like,
really.
I hope they. Do you mean in terms of like seeing them in the natural habitat, or do you mean the way you catch?
No,
it?
I mean in terms of like using the Pokeball. I'd rather it go back to
how it was, but I've got a feeling they'll incorporate like the Pokeball.
You reckon it'd probably be both
peripheral,
wouldn't it,
yeah, which is fine. But like the gym itself, there was a little puzzle before you got into the battle, which there have been puzzles before, obviously, but this seemed a bit more grand. It looked a lot better and a lot bigger. So there's definitely a lot of improvements, but we're 20 minutes. I can't say anything about how the game plays from like city to city and how the Pokemon evolve and whatnot. But you know, from that battle, there's definitely improvements to when you are in a fight. So yeah, I think that's certainly what I'm looking forward to. However, the game that came out of it most excited for was Link's Awakening.
I'm mad keen on this, even though my experience with Zelda is a bit limited. I really like the look of this. So
yeah. Link's Awakening is one of the best Zeldas.
Yeah, see, I'll say that right now. I haven't played it, but
it's one of the best Zeldas. It
first
was
first Zelda I ever played. So
it's not the best, I wouldn't say, but I'd say it's top three, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's probably my now I'm thinking modern game wise, it's probably my third favorite Zelda.
Yeah. And it just obviously it looks lovely and it's very cartoony and Link looks a little cutie, but like the world, it's so weird how, and a muscle memory kicks in and you remember certain things from playing it. God knows, however long ago, like nearly
a long time ago. We're talking a game in black and white, mate.
Yeah, so there you go, a long time ago. But I remember like getting a sword off the beach and the kind of the toy grabber game thing, you know, all these little things, and the enemies are, it's great. And it's very simplistic. It's not changed loads. However, like, obviously back in the day, you could only have two buttons for your sword and your shield, and then nothing. There's like, obviously there's that now, but then there's two spots for like extra bits. So they've improved that slightly, but it's reminiscent of the original, but they've kind of changed little bits to make it feel like fresh, like the way the enemies move. There's not a typical route for them to follow. Like if you bump into an enemy, they tend to come after you. They don't just carry on walking. So, short time with it, but from what I saw, like, oh yeah, this is going to be a favourite.
I heard reports out of E3 that the frame rate wasn't particularly incredible at the moment. I mean, it's not out for a while yet.
No,
but
I mean, see, I can't remember anything. I know there was a few of us there that had a few issues, but they said before we even went in that it's not finished, so you can't really be too down on them for that, because
I think the thing is, with Nintendo especially, they don't tend to... they are the company that says the game comes out when it's done. I mean, what's that famous quote that I'm going to butcher now? You know, a bad game is bad forever, or, you know, like a delayed game. You know the one,
yeah,
I mean? You know,
yeah,
the quote I mean? I'm butchering it, but like a delayed game... Do you know what I mean? But
yeah,
basically,
yeah,
they
yeah
are the ones that say, we'll delay it if it's not going to be good enough. You know, they're the ones that came out and said, look, we're restarting development on Metroid 4 because it's not good enough. So I'm surprised... If that's, but you said, let's say we can only really go off what you've seen, and if you haven't seen anything to be concerned about,
I didn't see anything. No, there's not one part of it where I was like, oh god, that's dodgy. Like it ran fine for me.
I mean, Breath of the Wild had its moments, especially like pre-release when I reviewed it. It did get there, but that game does have frame rate issues.
Well,
nothing.
I'm playing it now, like Breath of the Wild, and I've had the game freeze on me a little bit, but like only for a second. But it happens. It's an ambitious game, and I wouldn't say for one second that 1 second of freeze ruined anything. Like, it's ran perfectly so far.
There's games where they are doing something so phenomenal that you'll accept the odd frame drop, and I think Breath of the Wild is...
Oh, hands down.
I mean, I think it's one of the best games ever made. I know not everyone feels that, but I would accept... I say it ran a lot worse when I reviewed it. That was pre-release, so...
Yeah. You know. Legends of Winning is definitely the one I came out of thinking, like, this is the one I'm 100% behind. I will be buying that when it comes out. But yeah, all in all, it was a great time. Got to play loads of Nintendo games.
I mean, it's I bring Nicola in here because I know she's not... I think you and I are certainly bigger Nintendo fans, if you will, than Nicola.
It's fair to say I'm not a Nintendo fan. I just haven't... I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't dislike Nintendo at all. It's just that I haven't really ever... In fact, the Switch... No, I had a Wii. Sorry.
Well, that's good. Well, I tend to do that before we record as well.
Got to keep your fluids up, guys.
That's right, yeah.
No, but the Wii was the first.
Yeah, that's
thinking
you said.
Yeah, the first Nintendo console I've ever had. I don't have history with Nintendo.
So what did you have then? Obviously. Listen, it's no secret. The three of us are perhaps three of the more elder statesmen in terms of being in the games industry. Well, I didn't want to say. I didn't want to say it, but
grandma.
I have to.
I'm the grandma here.
Don't think about it too much. But there was that image doing around on Twitter, like, what number are you? And it was like a picture of an Atari or a Commodore 64. And I was like, yeah, that one, the earliest one. So I had that. I had the Commodore 64, had all the stuff you had, but... My first console, would have been a NES.
Right.
Then I went Mega Drive. For some reason, I went from NES, the best there was, and decided, I won't get the SNES. I'll go for the Sega. I don't know why. Did you not have any of that then, like the NES or SNES?
You've got to think as well, right? So I'm a girl, and I'm an only child. So
okay,
it was. I mean, I did play, but console-wise, not really. I was exposed to the Atari because my best friend, Astrid, when I was really small, her brother had an Atari, and I can't remember which one it was, but we used to play Pong and that game with the tanks.
2600?
Possibly. I don't recall. I was about six. I would say, which would put it in 79, 80. And then
looking it up.
Growing up, my dad was really into computers and stuff. I mean, really into. He's a fucking software engineer, so he was more than really into it. But he built a Nimrod. Not a Nimrod, sorry, fucking hell. NASCOM.
Okay.
And I remember it with, walnut panelling and everything. He bought all the bits and actually built it. And we used to play on that, but it was all text-based, RPG adventure games. And there was another one, which I don't recall, but we used to buy PC magazines that always had code for games in them.
Gotcha.
And we'd key them in, we'd work together and key the code in together and then play the game afterwards. And then we got an Amstrad CPC 464, and that was my console, if you like. So I never had the Speccy or a Commodore or any of those things, but I used to play on them at friends' houses. And then one of my friends at high school, her brother had Sega Mega Drive, and me and her used to bump him off because he was younger, and we would play Sonic on that. But yeah, so growing up, really, I didn't really have anything like that. So my first console was one I bought myself, and it was a PlayStation. That was my ever console.
When you said the CPC 464, I can't stop thinking about that tiny little monitor thing and
that amazing keyboard with the cassette deck in the keyboard. Oh, beautiful!
But the reason I mentioned this is because there was a point earlier in the year where we were all sort of going, It's looking a bit barren this year, isn't it? And then Nintendo came out at E3 and just went, everything. We've got everything. Don't worry, we got everything. And Chris going to see them, it does seem like if people were thinking last year was a slightly quieter year for them, they're ramping up.
When I came out of it, I felt reinvigorated almost. Like, I'm back on the Switch after taking some time away, and I'm back on Zelda, and I've just ordered, it's coming today, Super Mario Maker 2. Like, I'm back in fully.
Well, that kind of leads us perfectly on, because that's the game I reviewed recently and the game that I was hoping would kick me out of my funk. And I think it has mostly, because what it got me doing is I was on the Switch more. So I couldn't talk about it the other week when I was talking about Donkey Kong. That was why, because I was on the Switch. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know what, I should, you know. And I bought Hyper Light Drifter on Switch because it was on sale. I was like, yeah, that game's great. I'm having that.
I've been eyeing that up, by the way. Sorry.
Oh, it's a great game. No, it's a great game. And I think it was 15,
yeah,
14,
it's
15
on
Switch.
I noticed on sale.
It's a very good game. Mario Maker 2 is also fantastic. It's a difficult game to talk about because you kind of know what it is, and it's weird because Nintendo always send through all their embargo information, and it was like, you can't show this and you can't show that. It's like, yeah, that's obviously, you wouldn't, because these are the kind of secrets, and like, that's just not, we're not that site. But what I found interesting is that they kind of otherwise, for the first time, had sort of shown everything this game had to offer pre-release. Like, they, you know, in all the Mario Maker Direct and the gameplays, they kind of shown everything. Mm. They really had, and that was weird because it was all out there. So you were reviewing a game that, although it isn't out, people kind of know everything about it. You know, that it really was one of those where this is. I mean, it's a weird review. You know, it starts with the words Mick Jagger, which is something I don't think you'll get any other site. So that's a reason to come to GodIsAGeek.com. But the thing, I don't want to sit here and moan about it, because there's some weird stuff around this game. So the game I reviewed, the game's brilliant. Obviously, it's brilliant. Like, I really like making levels, and I've made my first level. I've played other people's levels. I said it in the review that the only two complaints I've got really are, one, I don't feel like the multiplayer, as much as they've said it's cool, I feel like it's a bit tacked on, personally.
Yeah.
I made a level in co-op. I tried to get this across in the text, and I hope it came across. But in this game, you got like switch buttons where you know the red and blue switches. So you hit a switch, and you can change the blue to red or whatever. It, you know, turns. You can essentially build a platform that you have to jump a switch to turn the platform on, so you can make a jump. So I made this co-op level that, like, you have to, in Mario World it was, where like you have to jump on each other's heads to bounce this big distance, and then one of you, once you get there, hits the switch, which opens the platform to get the other person across the gap you could only previously do by bouncing off each other's head. And I thought, this is really cool, because the shit you can do in this game now with the multiplayer is like next level stuff. Like, you know, I can make this level that you can only complete if you play as a team. You know, you can't make that jump in solo, but if you bounce off Luigi's head as Mario, you can hit a button that then opens a way for the other person to get across. And I'm thinking, my God, like, people were already doing insane stuff, like most people do in these level creation games, you know, whether it's Little Big Planet, Dreams, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I went to upload this level, really satisfied with it being a difficult but doable co-op level, and it loads me, and then there's just Mario, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I've missed an option. And I kept trying to find out a way, and eventually I emailed Nintendo and was like, is there no way you could, so I've skipped a beat here, to upload a level you have to complete the level, you have to show the game that this is completable one way or another, and then if you've put checkpoints in it, you then have to replay the game from the checkpoint, so that if you've made something past the checkpoint that requires something before it, you've not made the level that can't be completed after hitting the checkpoint. And there's no way of me uploading this level, because I need co-op, because it's a co-op level. There's no way of me doing this, because you can't do the upload in co-op or multiplayer. And I was a bit disappointed by that, and I hope they'll add that, because I think they just need to add a level tag online, like co-op only or something, and you've got this whole even deeper idea. You can make truly ridiculous levels that, you know, require this different way of playing Mario. And again, it doesn't make me go, oh, what a shit game. It was just one of those things where it's like, I really wish they'd gone all the way with it, you know? Yeah. But otherwise, like, Super Mario Maker 2, everyone's playing it by now if they want to. And it's just, to me, it's paradise, because it's endless. It's 2D Mario.
Speaking of 2D, how's the 3D creation?
Well, that's the other thing. The first level I made was a 3D world because obviously it's like I've got to try the new stuff quickly. Yeah. And I made a level in that, and it was like the journalists you're playing got like it was like a 4% complete ratio. I didn't think it was that hard. It just required a lot of wall jumps, and like when you're in New Super Mario Brothers and beyond, you can hit the trigger button to do like a spin in midair that gives you a tiny bit more distance. So I didn't think it was that hard. I thought it was tricky and precise. I like the 3D world stuff. I think there's so much you can add to them. I think it's a nice addition. I think everyone wanted Super Mario Bros. 2 in there. Mm. I think that's asking a lot because the game... Essentially, the mechanics do change, but very small amounts. If you put in Peach, Toad, and Luigi having different jumps, and like you know, Peach can float from Mario 2, that game is so different. As cool as it would be to be able to make levels in that theme, I think it might be asking a bit much.
Yeah.
But I know. It's going to keep me playing the Switch for a very long time. You know, I make a level, my son tries to play through it. You know, he does the same. You know, I think we're going to try and do something in God is a Geek where we can challenge each other at level creation and, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's just one of those evergreen games that I'm so glad it's on Switch now. Yeah, it's what I wanted the most on Switch, and it's there now, and I can just play Infinite Mario. Hopefully the level filters work. Hopefully the community, you know, downvote levels that are just bad. And hopefully that it thrives. But I am so excited to be playing it again.
Awesome.
Nicola, you've been playing Game Pass, which is not a game in itself, but there's two games on this list. One old, one new.
It's a bit of a game, isn't it? It's a bit of a gamble. Ooh, what shall I download now?
I wouldn't call it a gamble because I think it's smart money to spend on that. But one's an old game, and we'll finish on that before we get to questions. But before we get to that, a new game that's been picking up quite a lot of steam and a lot of people seem to like, it's called Outer Wilds.
Mm.
Not Outer Worlds, not to be confused with another game.
How confusing is that?
I mean, I don't know how that's happened, really.
Is it
really,
the Outer Worlds, though, and this is just Outer Wilds?
No.
Or is it just...
No, this is... Yes, that's right. This is Outer Wilds. That is, I think, the Outer Worlds.
It is. I've just Googled.
I'm
going to
Google it. I was going to say...
Outer Worlds.
And it's made by Obsidian, and this isn't...
No.
This is Annapurna.
Mobius, is it?
I just think of it as an Annapurna game, because they came to make these kind of interesting games, shall we say. They're quite known for it. What do you think of this one?
I really like it. I haven't played as much. I've noticed, actually, that Mick Doherty's been playing it lately, and I saw as well this morning that Mikhail's on it too. I really, really like it, but there again, it's a bit sandboxy, so that's kind of my bag anyway. I know that Mick Fraser reviewed it, didn't he? And I was kind of a bit surprised, actually, that Mick would do it, because on the face of it, it doesn't seem like his bag at all. I mean, it's really folksy and cute, but I don't know, it's got like a hook that I'm really finding compelling, which is this gradual unravelling of a mystery. And it feels very much like each time you launch off, because of course it's got this this feature, hasn't it, where you're in a time loop, a 20-odd minute time loop. And it just feels like each time you go out, you're just pulling another thread of story. And that's the hook for me, really, is just kind of keeping on pulling these threads and finding out a bit more information about, you know, what's gone before and what's perhaps to come. It feels like a kind of spiritual game in some sense, because... death is very much used as a mechanic, in the sense that with each death you have hopefully died with, you know, more knowledge than you had before to be able to pass on to the next life, if you kind of get my meaning. So I think there's some really deep themes in there. Like I say, I haven't actually played a great deal more than maybe a couple of hours, and a lot of that has been me not being able to pilot the spaceship very well. I mean, I've crashed into the sun, I've been bounced off a planet, whilst out of my my spaceship and I've been floating around in the galaxy, I've tried to land on a moving comet, which I managed to do, but then somehow got sucked off. Excuse me. By maybe the gravity of another planet. I don't really know, but I didn't stay very long on the comet. I've managed like 5 full loops of, you know, just like I say, picking at these threads of story. So I'm keen to kind of play a lot more, but I did get sidetracked by the other game that we've got on our list to talk about. What do you think of it, Adam? Because I know you've said you've kind of played a little bit of it, but you bounced straight off it.
I wasn't feeling it at all. I will say that, as I said earlier on, that's why I said this about Breath of the Wild, I am accepting of a game sometimes not running particularly well, if it's kind of transcends that mattering. But I did think Outer Wilds runs a bit choppy. I quite like the intro to it. I thought the music's lovely, and I like the whole idea of it, and I liked the piloting. I thought that was an interesting different way of having you pilot a spaceship. I went to what I thought the game was telling me to go to, like this very watery planet with tornadoes ripping around it. And I found a little house, and again, I'm still thinking this is really cool. And then I sort of stopped and was like, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do now? And I was like, I didn't know what to do. And I spent sort of half an hour just dicking around trying to uncover something, really not having any direction and no input from the game to tell me anything other than you've gone to this planet, work it out. So in the end, I went online, and as lots of people do, and I looked a guide up. I was like, am I supposed to be here? What do I do? And I looked at it, and it says you have to sort of. Basically, there was somewhere else on that same planet. There was 2 landing spots, and I hadn't seen the other one. So I went to the other one, and there's all this sort of spatial bending that you're walking around. Like, because there's certain things you can walk on that let you walk upside down. And and I was doing all this, and I was uncovering some text and stuff like that. And then I just died. And I don't mean like something attacked me or I it was like the game crashed, but it didn't crash because I was back at
the camp,
and I had no idea why I died, so I put it down and I was like, that either that's a mechanic which doesn't respect my time, or the game is buggy, and I don't know if some water hit me suddenly and wiped me out. I just don't know.
Well, that planet's quite tricky anyway because of those tornadoes of
Am I supposed to be there?
Yeah, I think so. Yes,
but I kept finding these objects that you put in things and it revealed text. Mm. But there was, again, none of it was like not compelling me so much. But none of it was kind of. So you talk about pulling the thread. I felt like I had the thread, and then it slipped out of my fingers, and I couldn't find it again. And nothing was like telling me, yeah, no, you're on the right track. Do this. It just got to the point where it was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And it combined with the death, I just was like, I get it. I get why people are like this, but for me, it doesn't do the Minecraft thing of where it's like sandbox, do what you want, but it also isn't the, you know, story narrative driven game that says drive through my story. It kind of felt like it was sitting in between both. And I'm seeing all these articles, you know, that like is it Kotaku, where it's like one of the best games I've ever played in my life, and I was like, yeah, fair enough. Good. I wish I felt that way about a game in the last couple of weeks, you know. But this isn't it for me. Like it's I get it. Like I said, I get it. I'm not. It's bad.
It's kind of like a slow burner, really, because I spent a bit of time wandering around. You know, before you even fly off, I spent a bit of time wandering around, and it kind of subtly gives you a few clues as to, you know, what you're supposed to do when you do eventually take off. I mean, what I really liked about it is it's quite bare bones in terms of like the tools that you need. You've got that little scope thing that will point you towards music. And then you've got that reader that will decode the
translator.
Which will decode the messages from the race of people who'd gone before. And that's it, really. The only other thing perhaps you missed was inside your spacecraft is like an archive And it only becomes apparent after you've died, really, that this thing is useful. And that's where the story threads start to build. So, for example, I went to the moon of the planet, of the home planet, which I've forgotten, is it Timberheath or something? I went, was my first trip was to the moon. And I, you know, chatted with the fella who sat there. It's really folksy because you've got some fella sat outside on his porch with a banjo and a tree, and the tree is giving oxygen to that small area of the moon, but the rest of it is, you know, completely without oxygen. So it's, you know, it's kind of folksy and cute, and you chat away to this chap and what have you. And then that's...
There's a lot of chat.
Yeah, there is a lot of chat early on.
A lot of build.
And then I flew off into the sun.
Okay.
By accident. It wasn't intentional. And then I was like, oh, shit, I've died. And then woke up, obviously, and it says, you know, you've got the codes, etc., and you start again. And this time I went to a different planet, and I can't remember which one it was, and I found something in the different planet, and I managed to scan and translate a few things. None of it made any real sense to me, and I found a mechanism that looked like a kind of observatory type thing where you could line up the mechanism, and it gave you some clues. Again, I'm not entirely sure what those clues were. And then the sun exploded, the supernova happened, which is a full loop. And the next time I went in, and the little archive in my ship had got some new stuff. And from there, from that, you know, interaction with the, I think they called the Nomi, the people before. So from with that interaction with the Nomi language that I translated, and the mechanism that looked like some kind of like observatory, I then had two little pieces of like mystery story chunks of an adventure or whatever that gave me suggested other areas to go to, which might finish off or help flesh out that particular thread. So it's there that it starts to become interesting, which is what I'm talking about, where you're pulling these different threads. But you kind of have to, you have to die, first of all, for it to even start to trigger that next movement forward. And I think initially when I died straight away, I was a bit like, oh, shit, you know, like, well, that was a bit poor. And you know, the next time when I was doing really well, and then the sun explodes, and I'm like, oh, I get it. I actually get it. You're supposed to be dying, you know, you're supposed to be failing or you know, whatever, because without that you can't move forward to the next bit, if you know what I mean. So it's only then that it kind of twigged what the game was actually about for me. Like I said, I do need to play a lot more because I've only played a couple of hours of it, and I feel a bit like what I've played I really, really like, but I'm still very early doors in it, if you know what I mean. I'm still a way off of discovering a bit more, but there's definitely some intrigue there. And plus, I really, like I say, I really like this idea, this kind of existential idea that you know, you're passing on knowledge and experience to the next, admittedly, incarnation of yourself. But there's some kind of... there's some interesting themes going on that I'm interested to see how it explores those as you go forward.
Kind of the same thing happens every time you die in Superhot. Now, I know Superhot is not a new game, so we're not going to spend ages on it. But Nicola, you have finally played Superhot.
I've played Superhot, and I feel a fool.
Mm.
I've been a fool, Adam. A fool.
I mean, I don't want. I don't know a polite way of agreeing, so I'm just going to just you go for it.
I don't know,
Chris has
just
gone very quiet.
I seem to be like a kind of masochist, where everybody's like going, "Oh my god, like this game is amazing," and I'm like, "It looks amazing, but I'm just not going to play it." I'm not going to play
it.
Not,
it looks amazing. It's not for me.
I never for a minute thought it wasn't for me, but I was just like, no, I'm not ready to play that yet.
It's not even that long.
No, it's not. It's really not. It was. I saw it on Game Pass. In fact, I think I already had it in my library. I'm pretty sure it was a Games with Gold not so long back.
I think it was actually. Yeah.
But I downloaded it finally, and yeah, it was actually super hot that pulled me out of Outer Wilds for a bit. Fucking hell, that's a video game, isn't it? Oh my god! Oh my god! What a game!
Very compelling game. You got to play it in VR now somehow.
I can totally appreciate that in VR it's going to be a completely different experience and probably the way it is supposed to be played. But I just but
it's,
VR
it is actually a different game.
VR
it
just
is different.
Kind of
it's not the same levels.
Gives me the
no,
willies
I promise
VR.
You. Like, if there's
willies.
One game someone should play in VR, it's super hot.
Yeah,
because
I keep hearing
especially
that.
If you got a chance to play it on Oculus, because the controllers for the Oculus controllers are so feel good in your hand that it really does feel like you are punching someone and grabbing their gun, and it is.
It's
out
just
of this world
like
good.
You know me. I love a shooter, and Super Hot just distills that right down. And each level is just like it's like a dance. It's like a fucking dance, and it's glorious. And you do it, and you get through the level, and, you know, you might do a few things that you think, oh, God, that was a bit choppy or not very slick, and then it plays it back to you, and you just look like fucking John Wick or something. It's just extraordinary. What a game. What a game that is. A beautiful puzzle, fucking ballet of shooting and stabbing folk. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Wonderful game. And,
but again, if you can find a way to VR. Chris, have you played it in VR?
No, not yet.
Oh,
no.
What a game.
I know.
What a game. Let's get into some listener correspondence, or as I like to call it, the llama fluff. Well, I was going to say 20 minutes, but we won't be spending 20 minutes. Thomas has sent in a few questions, as he always does, and we always appreciate that. We've got a few more to get through, so let's get started with a serious question from Thomas at llamafluff42. He says, I'm a bit worried about the price of next-gen consoles. What's your personal limit? For me, the price cannot start with a 5 as it breaches a psychological barrier. 499 is the absolute limit, surely.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. If it goes over 500, it doesn't sit right. So I don't think any console should be more than 500. I'd go 450, 499, something like that, definitely.
Bit rich for my blood, that.
It's a lot of money.
Nah, not for me.
What's your
personal limit? I get where Thomas is coming from with the 5 being a psychological barrier, but I won't be spending no more than like 350, I would have thought. For the price to come down. Yep. I just can't justify it. I can't. I mean, I want an Xbox One X, and even they're too rich for my blood.
I thought you had one.
No, I've got an S.
Oh, I thought you had an X. I 399 for me, I think, is the top out for me. I say that, I'm a bugger for the new hardware. I always kind of desperately want it. I will say, I think it's going to be really interesting, because if we don't know an awful lot about whatever Sony are doing. We just know that it's going to be somewhere on par. But Xbox are very much talking a game that, let's say, Halo Infinite, well, they've said it is coming to next gen, might be on this gen as well. It does sound like they're talking about a console that is, you know, the 8K, 120 frames thing, this super-powered console, that you will still be able to play the games on the old consoles. If that's the case, they can breach the 500 mark and say, but you don't need it. It will, you know, like the Xbox One X.
Mm.
They can say, you can still play all your games, but if you want to play them better, here's the X. And then let's say the Xbox Y comes out, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I just wonder if that will allow them to breach those, you know, the price, you know, put it properly into, this is a serious PC, essentially.
Can I ask a question? Do you guys think that, like, we need new consoles?
No.
I don't either.
I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready.
When the 360 and the PS3 lifespan was, you know, reaching the end, I did kind of feel like...
It felt time.
Yeah, it did. It felt like time for a new console, but I don't feel that with the Xbox and the PS4. I just don't...
But part of that is because we've had them. We had the PS4 Pro, we had the Xbox One S and X. We've had new consoles. Like, they have made the games look and run better. We've had them. But after you get to the Pro, and the X especially, you are looking at games like I expect Gears 5 will run, or like, you know, I mean... Fucking Spider-Man, how good does that look? Or, you know, I've only got a base
PS4 and yeah, fucking hell. I've got a base PS4 and God of War looks amazing. Spider-Man looked amazing. Horizon Zero Dawn looks amazing. Uncharted looked amazing. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
I don't really feel like I need a new console.
I think they've done it to themselves. A lot of people are feeling that because of those mid-step consoles, because... We really are seeing, like, what, you know, they didn't announce a new Forza at the Xbox thing. We know there'll be a new one on the Xbox One, 2, whatever it's called. How much more realistic can the cars look? You know, to me, it's, and I said this last gen, it's about innovation. And also, if you can't have every game running at 60 frames bare minimum, don't bother. Mm. Don't bother, because for me, that has to be minimum now. I'm not saying I expect 4K 60, but... We're not even getting 1080 60 with some games still. Like, it needs to do that. Mm. It does. And on the same topic, Thomas also asks, is Google Stadia doomed before it begins? I don't think it's doomed. I think that I don't currently understand who it's aimed at, because the idea of Google Stadia would be fine if it was a subscription model that gave you games. The idea that you would... I mean, I don't need to ask this question because I know the answer from all three of us. But if you were to say, right, here's a Google Stadia, here's your Xbox One X, and here's your PS4 Pro, Ubisoft's Watch Dogs Legion is coming out, and you can buy it for £40 and play it on PS4 Pro, Xbox One X, or stream it while buying it on Google Stadia, no one here is picking Stadia.
No.
I think with the ability to be able to carry on your phone, on your PC, on your TV, all of that, because you don't own the game. And even digitally on Xbox One X and PS4 Pro, at least you've downloaded the game and it's on your hard drive, which gives you, all right, you don't own it, it's a licensed essentially, but at least it's there if you lose your internet, which, you know, doesn't happen these days. But I don't know the market that is clamouring for a subscription model cloud-based service that you still have to pay £40 for a game for. That's
and
what baffles me.
Let's be honest here, that kind of pitch was exactly what put Microsoft behind this generation.
Yeah. I mean, they're even now saying, look, we are going to do the xCloud thing, but it's an option. They're not saying that, you know, when they first announced it last year, you're like, oh, they're going that route as well. They've pulled back massively and gone, no, you are going to be able to play your Xbox games on your phone and on your tablets and that, but that's a choice. It's not what we're selling. I don't think it's doomed. I think they need to re-message. I think they need to figure some things out still, actually. I mean, the announcement where they said, basically, if you're going to pay for the premium thing, you'll get to get in early and get your username, that's bad. That's bad business. But yeah, we don't know a lot about Stadia. We'll cover it at the time when it comes out. I doubt we'll get it early. We'll cover it though. Interesting times. He also, to the important stuff now. If you had to live on super noodles for the rest of your lives as your main meals, but you're allowed to enliven it with other ingredients, what would you add?
Chicken.
Yeah, chicken.
But I thought you can already buy a super noodles chicken flavour.
Yeah, but like proper
chicken.
No,
but you want the chunks, don't you?
Yeah. Not fucking reconstituted chicken, Adam. Yeah,
good old chicken breast.
Yeah.
Flavour that with a bit of...
Bit of spring onion in there as well. Spice it up. Maybe a bit of chilli.
Yeah, I like that.
A bit of chilli.
Yeah, I'd go for chilli. Yeah.
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 Red or green chilli, Adam. Red or green chilli.
Red.
Yeah, sweeter, isn't it? Yeah. Good man.
Well, oh, no. You mean like peppers. I mean like proper spice
chilli. Well, I meant cut them up fresh chilli.
Ooh.
I'd still go red.
Yeah, good man.
Sticking with food, he says HP, Daddy's, or supermarket own brand. What's the best brown sauce?
HP.
HP.
Yeah, HP. No argument here. I'm not against Daddy's, but HP.
Yeah.
That was really easy. Not even an argument. We need Adam Carroll here for that.
Yeah, we do.
Really. He'd have come out with some.
He'd have like got his own recipe or something.
Yeah, or it would be like some weird brand that's like brown and red sauce at the same time with mayo in it.
Imports from Zanzibar.
Sticking with the important stuff, David Ayers on our Discord asks us, and he says, Jaffa Cakes are allowed.
Right, there's no contest here. There is no contest here. The absolute pinnacle of biscuit, chocolate obnob.
I agree.
It's no contest.
I agree.
It's no contest.
I didn't think you were going to say that, and I was going to get ready to disagree. I actually agree.
It's chocolate obnob. It's the absolute daddy of biscuits.
I'm not saying I would refuse a Jaffa cake or even a chocolate digestive, but I am saying, yeah, I'm totally with you. 100% chocolate obnob.
Chocolate obnob. Can't beat it.
Chris has gone very quiet.
Wow. I do like chocolate obnob.
Chris is God tier. It's God.
What are you saying about obnobs, Chris? What are you saying about obnobs, mate?
Nothing. Fucking saying nothing. All right.
Fucking like start with me, white.
Well, I quite like. No, that doesn't quite like work. A golden cream. With a creamy.
Is that like a crinkle crunch thing?
Ooh,
is it?
Yeah, they're good
and
as well.
Also,
oh shit! Yeah, they're good.
So it's nice. There's these basically digestive sandwiches, so that you have digestive on each end, and then in the middle you've got like this lemon cheesecake. It's very
tasty.
They
are quite nice, but they're not.
Oh, are they new?
They're not chocolate obnob, Chris.
I've not had them before, like last year.
Are they in a white packet? Are they McGitties?
Yeah.
I think I saw Calvin tweet a picture of them or something, and I thought, oh, but I haven't seen them anywhere.
Okay, just a slight tangent here. Can we go best Christmas box, Christmas biscuit box, Foxes or McBitties?
Foxes.
Yes, come on, Adam, come on.
Nothing again. I wouldn't turn it down, but Foxes just a little bit more premium. I feel
they're a bit naughty, aren't they? Foxes.
Yeah. Like, there's one of them. It's like a chocolate ring.
Yes.
But like the chocolate is like thick in there. That is thick chocolate. Yeah. They go quick.
Chocolate ring.
And I do mean thick with two C's in that case. Alan Davidson at 123 LED. Right, this is going to be difficult. So the cast has been locked down for God is a Geek the movie. Was that last week or week before? Can't remember. I think it was the week before. What is the plot of this obvious cinematic masterpiece? I can't even remember who was who in that now, but I mean...
Well, we play ourselves. We'll just play ourselves.
No, you don't remember. Were you not here for that episode?
Yeah, I was here for that, but I can't remember who was who, so...
I mean, I think I tried to lay claim to Keanu, I think, at the time.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember much more than that, but I mean, the plot for me would be... It'd be an underdog story, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? It would be down and outs, managed to, you know, pull them up by the bootstraps and make it to the top. It would be Hollywood.
Yeah, I don't know.
Really,
I kind of like League of Gentlemen movie, very meta.
Right.
But I need to work out the plot. But it would be, yeah.
There's a caravan in it. We know that.
Yeah.
It's not an easy one, is it? We might have to come back to this, I think, maybe.
Come back to it.
Unless Nicola has an idea for a film?
Nah. Sorry, I kind of missed out on on this discussion, if I'm honest.
That's fair enough. It was a strange discussion. Matt King at Kinger_8938 says, currently playing A Plague Tale: Innocence and really enjoying it. Still on my list to play that one. Are there any other recent gems that have flown under the radar of the masses?
Oh, do you know what, right? Right, it's not that recent, but I've been playing it again recently because a friend of mine's downloaded it off Game Pass. Strange Brigade. Criminally underrated game, that. Criminally underrated. It's really good.
I mean, looking at our reviews, there's a review from a game called Muse Dash that Nick Gillam reviewed and gave 9 out of 10 to that I hadn't heard of until he requested to review it. That's on the Switch, you know. I don't know if my friend Pedro has gone under the radar a little bit. I wouldn't mind trying that. Riverbond kind of came and went, didn't it, really?
Yeah, it's kind of a bit throwaway, that game anyway, as good as it is. But again, see, the thing is with Game Pass, I think it gets attention, brings attention to these games, but I'm not sure whether there's a kind of short-livedness to them. I don't really know.
Right. It'd
be interesting to...
I mean, Slay the Spire got cracking reviews everywhere, but because it came out on PC already, it kind of disappeared. And another one, Observation.
Oh, that game was... Observation. Phenomenal.
I don't remember hearing anyone talking about that game.
Yeah.
I mean, I am just going... I will say, this is not me blowing our own trumpet, but God is a Geek is very good at covering a lot of the smaller games that do get passed over, I feel, by a lot of other people. Mm. I mean, this is just going back to April, you know?
Hmm.
SteamWorld Quest didn't get an awful lot of attention, I don't think, nor did God's Trigger. You know, there's a lot of games, if you just click on the reviews bit of God as a Geek and go through, you'll see a lot of games you don't know the name of and that have got good scores that are like, oh, you know what I mean?
Mm. Mm. Yeah, I'm just flicking through myself, actually.
There's a lot of games that appear there, like, I've never heard of that, you know. And I think...
About Void Bastards. That seems to have gone off the radar as well, and that...
Yeah, again...
I
sort of 10 days in the limelight.
Yeah, that.
And then, yeah.
That I played a bit of that, and I know you did the review, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah.
As soon as I loaded that up and saw that art style, I was sold. And then, like.
Same, that's what
and
did
And then the absolute ridiculousness of the mundane office supplies that you've got to go and get. Just, I was sold on that completely. But that's kind of flown a bit under the radar, hasn't it?
Another one that did that like had a week in the sun and disappeared, and I haven't played it, but it got good reviews, is that Ape Out. I keep wanting to try that game.
Gosh, you know what? I was going, I've never heard of it, but I have heard of it.
Yeah, no, it had a week in the sun where people were like raving about it, and then it just it went. A lot of games have done that this year. Even bigger games like Metro Exodus kind of just came and went. You know, Far Cry New Dawn, that same week, wasn't it?
Metro Exodus was all right.
Yeah, but like that week, I'm looking at it now on the site, like within 24 hours, we had a review of Crackdown 3, Far Cry, and Metro.
Mm.
You know? In fact, the day before that, Apex Legends. But I mean, that didn't come and go. Mm. Anyway, at Ryan, at RLSGLA, he says, have you ever seen the devil dance in the pale moonlight? I mean, I've seen my friend Colin Mahern dance in the moonlight, but I don't know if he's the devil. And I'm not sure the moonlight was pale.
I've heard a song by Top Loader called Dancing in the Moonlight.
And they are the devil, to be fair.
Yeah. And obviously Batman. That's where the quote's from, isn't it?
I don't remember. It's one of those quotes Joker. Now that's been that... Is it? What, originally?
In 1989 Batman, it says, have you ever danced with the devil in the pale moonlight?
Wow, I wouldn't have remembered that was its original source, so to speak.
I'm not sure if it's the original source, but I know it's definitely what he says to Batman.
Nicola, any comment on this? Have you ever seen it?
No. I don't even know. What is it from? Oh, well,
Chris
obviously...
Chris says Batman, but I'm
Googling.
I'm sure it's... Okay.
I'm Googling.
I'm sure it's from somewhere else. I mean, who
yes,
I don't think
Joker
so
says it to Batman.
Yeah. Chris is right. Sorry, Chris. We shouldn't have doubted you.
It's all right. Well, you shouldn't.
Well, to be fair, no, because I can't say we didn't, because Nicola Googled it and I said, I don't think you're right. So, no, we did doubt you, and I'm sorry. That is it for our podcast this week. Thank you very much to Chris and Nicola for being here. It was much appreciated. Very briefly to tell you that if you go to patreon.com/godisageek for $1 a month, that's only $12, it's about a tenner a year, you'll get early access code. We give away codes. We give out early videos like weeks ahead of when they go live and stuff like that. It's well worth it, we think. Consider it. I won't nag you about it too much. Also, go to iTunes and review and make sure you are subscribed if this is your first listen. Make sure you stick the 5 stars down and just share us. Share us with your friends, because that actually, a recommendation, a personal recommendation from you to a friend saying, I like these guys, have a listen. That actually does a lot. So thank you very much, and please consider it. Thank you again, Nicola and Chris, for being here this week.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
And everyone else, we will speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.